You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards. He's Ed Maher. And we're talking with Gary Perenar, the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Hello again, Gary.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Gary. You know, right off the bat, there's something I wanted to ask you about, and that is I've been reading a little bit in the news. I've been seeing it pop up kind of everywhere that the carpenters have been waging a campaign and a fight against wage theft and trying to recover wages lost by various workers. Can you tell us a little bit about this? I mean, what is wage theft?
Sure. Wage theft is basically unscrupulous contractors taking advantage of their workforce. And for the last 2 years, we've been trying to get legislation in the state of Illinois passed. And just this year, 2022, we're able to implement a wage theft bill that was spearheaded by the Mid-America Carpenters Union into legislation. And we're very proud of that. A lot of hard work.
Did it have what kind of support did it have in Springfield?
It had great support. Everybody that was educated on the bill, Ken, really gravitated behind it. It's not a union bill; it's a workers' bill, and any worker in the state of Illinois now has the luxury of using the carpenters' legislation, this new wage theft bill, to collect monies that they have rightfully coming.
Okay, so the carpenters have this fight against wage theft, and as you said, you're successful in getting a law passed in Springfield. This law protects workers from wage theft by, creating penalties for employers that steal their wages or take away their wages or improperly pay them?
Yes, exactly, Ed. And here's what it does in a nutshell. The collectively bargained agreements that we have with our contractors, the contractors have to pay the prevailing wage. They have to pay what the carpenters are owed, and if not, there's great penalties and possible sanctions, fines, and so on and so forth.
And prevailing wage, it's a term that you mentioned there. That's not a union wage. It's almost like a minimum wage for construction workers. Is that right?
Yes, and it's filed with the state of Illinois every year.
And it's based on, my understanding, the prevailing wage is based on what? It's based on union contracts.
Often it is. I think it's the minimum that it's the most commonly paid wage in a certain geographic area. So whether you're a union construction worker or a non-union construction worker, if you're working on projects that are funded by tax dollars in the state of Illinois, you have to be paid this wage rate. It's a way to protect a standard to keep low-wage workers who are potentially unskilled from coming in and performing substandard work that's being paid for by public dollars.
That's a great definition of prevailing wage. And yet, again, I hate to say it, but another example of how unions not only lift the conditions and the wages and the benefits of their members, but everybody else around them. Because if I'm doing prevailing wage work and, where do I want to be working? Do I want to be working in a right-to-work state in the middle of nowhere where the prevailing wage is $15 an hour? Or do I want to be working in Chicago downtown where the prevailing wage is $50 on the check and $50 in benefits? I'm making $100 an hour. I want to be working in union land, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think something that you just said, Ken, is really important. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more about this, Gary. This fight against wage theft isn't just about carpenters, and this certainly isn't just about union members. This is something that's going to benefit workers that are in unions, workers that are not in unions. You're fighting this fight on behalf of everybody.
Yes, we are, Ed. Good point. We just had a recent case settled with the Illinois Department of Labor where we had a company that had close to a dozen workers on site. They weren't represented by any union, but we were able to negotiate working with the Department of Labor a huge settlement that'll get those workers the prevailing wage, as Ken talked about earlier, money in their pocket after the job was over.
So wait a second. You got to back up and make sure our audience is understanding this. The carpenters didn't represent this group of employees.
No, we did not.
Still don't.
Still don't.
Yet you went and fought for them.
Yes, we did.
And how much money did they get?
Well, the company settled for close to $500,000. And each carpenter will get tens of thousands of dollars in back pay.
Wow.
Doing carpenter's work, that they weren't represented by the union. These are just your average Joe, run-of-the-mill type individuals that we're working for this contractor who is cheating the system.
So a worker who has no experience with the Carpenters Union, isn't a member of the Carpenters Union, might know nothing about the Carpenters Union, is going to get a check for up to tens of thousands of dollars.
I heard one guy's getting $60,000.
That is correct.
I mean, that's just, I mean, that's life-changing money. And, and they were taking that money from this person, allegedly, but whatever, they settled. And so, the proof is in the pudding that, number one, your bill has worked, right? And number two, the work that the carpenters have done just worked for 12 people that you've never met.
That's true.
That's an amazing success story.
So if they're shorting the workers, if this company and other companies like this are shorting workers on their wages, I would assume that they're also shorting the income tax that they're reporting. And so isn't that also kind of tax fraud? They're shorting the state.
That's true. And that's another good point, Ed, where monies that come into communities for schools, for education, for police, fire, paramedics, that's all being dumped in the cheating contractor's pockets, and the communities obviously are the ones that really suffer too, along with the people that are working for this contractor.
So they're literally like taking money out of, you know, police coffers and firefighters' coffers by not paying their fair share of taxes.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, the downstream effect, of course, is that if they're giving their workers less, there's less money for their workers to spend. And where do the workers spend money? They spend in their community.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think all the workers that were working for this company live in Illinois. They want to buy stuff in Illinois. But unfortunately, with the wages that they were getting paid, they were very, very much underpaid for what the prevailing wage in the state allowed them to get.
That's a really good point, because construction workers are a good sort of example of middle-class workers. And when middle-class workers get more money on their paycheck, they're not putting it in a bank in the Cayman Islands. They're not buying into hedge funds. They're going to the grocery store and spending money. They're buying a new refrigerator. They're buying furniture. They're buying a car.
They're buying beer.
Some of them are probably buying beer. All of it goes into the economy. But every dollar that you're putting into middle-wage workers' pockets benefits the entire economy, because it's not getting stuffed into a mattress or some sort of a long-term investment vehicle. Most of it is going to buy goods and services in the community.
So you must be pretty proud of this success story.
Yeah, we're proud of it. And as I said earlier, it's not a union issue. It's protecting the workers in the state of Illinois. And very, very proud of our team here with the Mid-America Carpenters. We put a lot of effort and time into it, and it's really rewarding to see the contractors that are cheating the system pay up.
What is that? Let me ask you this. You mentioned contractors. It's not every contractor, right? I mean, we have good, solid, union, hardworking contractors, some of them which came up through the ranks and were former union members, right?
Sure, sure. Very good point again, and we have a number of thousands of good union carpenter contractors here in Illinois and throughout our jurisdiction in Missouri, Kansas, and Eastern Iowa. And it's really a tribute to, how good they are, how good they pay, how they treat our carpenters with productivity, safety, and training that we preach here in the union. And, when there's people cheating the system, it hurts everybody, not just our carpenter.
How does it hurt? Let's talk about that. How does it hurt the actual contractor?
Well, if everybody's on a level playing field and the job is being bid fairly, okay, which it's not when these contractors are cheating the system. Our union contractors are out of work and our members aren't put to work. So it's a snowball effect, and it hurts our contractors as much as it hurts our membership.
And what you just did is level the playing field.
Tried to level the playing field. Obviously, like I said earlier, there's good union contractors that pay every day. They pay what they should be paid. They pay to the state, workman's comp insurance, state taxes, and we want to make sure we protect those people as well.
And you're protecting not only them, obviously, you're protecting, like you just said, you're protecting your members that work for them, that rely on that paycheck to then take that money and put their kids in school and go out and shop in their community and pay taxes. I mean, it's got an amazing amount of ripple effect. And when somebody tries to game the system, they need to know, number one, that the government is watching. But more importantly, to be blunt with you, they need to know that the unions are watching, right? We're not just watching out for our own members. We're now watching out for everybody. And there's a perfect example of what you guys just did. And guess what? Unscrupulous contractors, here's a message to you. The carpenters are watching you, because where there's one, I bet there's more.
Yeah, if you turn over one rock, you find something. I bet if you turn over a few more rocks, there's plenty more out there. So your fight against wage theft started. You lobbied politicians. You got a state law passed.
And when you let me stop you, politicians, right?
It was bipartisan, Ken, and obviously our allies, our Democratic allies, along with our Republicans, it was bipartisan.
It's nice to see a union, and we talked about this last week as well. It's nice to see a union that doesn't just dump their money into the coffers of Democrats, because you have to have some friends on the other side of the aisle. And when you talk to some of them and you take away the rhetoric and you talk about something as simple as wage theft, tax theft, how do they not agree with that?
Right, exactly. Good point again. And, you know, we have to look at both sides of the aisle. You know, our philosophy here has always been that the people that help us, we will reciprocate the favor to them as well. And we do have some Republican friends, and along with our Democratic allies.
Okay, so you passed the state law. You're seeing successes already. Workers are getting paid money that they're owed. The state's being made whole on tax fraud. So if workers out there, whether they're members or not, believe that they might be a victim of wage theft, I understand you guys have a phone number that they can call?
Yes, anybody that thinks they're getting cheated can call our Carpenter's hotline.
So I'm going to read it to everybody. It's area code 630-368-3540. They don't have to be members of the Carpenters, correct?
No, any worker in the state of Illinois can call that hotline.
And then there's another one that is the southern region, and that is 217-744-1419. Again, it's 217-744-1419. And then, keep going, there's a western region, and that one is 815-626-2396. Again, it's 815-626-2396. Are these posted on your website someplace?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so you could always go to the Carpenters website and find these things.
I'm sure, quite frankly, carpentersunion.org.
Carpentersunion.org. I'm sure, by the way, if you called any one of these numbers, it would get to the right place, right?
That is correct.
That's an amazing story, Gary. And really, at the end of the day, all workers in the state of Illinois and throughout the country and throughout our jurisdiction and the Midwest Coalition of Labor's jurisdiction and everywhere need to be treated fairly. And what you're doing is exactly that. And you're helping the families and workers. And, you know, kudos to you for doing it. It's kick-ass.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Gary.
You've been listening to The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN with Gary Perenar from the Carpenters Union. Fantastic job, Gary and the Carpenters. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. This is The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards. He's Ed Maher. And we're talking with Gary Perenar, the Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Hello again, Gary.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Gary. You know, right off the bat, there's something I wanted to ask you about, and that is I've been reading a little bit in the news. I've been seeing it pop up kind of everywhere that the Carpenters have been waging a campaign and a fight against wage theft and trying to recover wages lost by various workers. Can you tell us a little bit about this? I mean, what is wage theft?
Sure. Wage theft is basically unscrupulous contractors taking advantage of their workforce. And for the last 2 years, we've been trying to get legislation in the state of Illinois passed. And just this year, 2022, we're able to implement a wage theft bill that was spearheaded by the Mid-America Carpenters Union into legislation. And we're very proud of that. A lot of hard work.
Did it have what kind of support did it have in Springfield?
It had great support. Everybody that was educated on the bill, Ken, really gravitated behind it. It's not a union bill; it's a workers' bill, and any worker in the state of Illinois now has the luxury of using the Carpenters legislation, this new wage theft bill, to collect monies that they have rightfully coming.
Okay, so the Carpenters have this fight against wage theft, and as you said, you're successful in getting a law passed in Springfield. This law protects workers from wage theft by, what, creating penalties for employers that that steal their wages or take away their wages or improperly pay them?
Yes, exactly, Ed. And here's what it does in a nutshell. The collectively bargained agreements that we have with our contractors, the contractors have to pay the prevailing wage. They have to pay what the Carpenters are owed, and if not, there's great penalties and possible sanctions, fines, and so on and so forth.
And prevailing wage, it's a term that you mentioned there. That's not a union wage. It's almost like a minimum wage for construction workers. Is that right?
Yes, and it's filed with the state of Illinois every year.
And it's based on, my understanding, that prevailing wage is based on what? It's based on union contracts.
Often it is. I think it's the minimum that it's the most commonly paid wage in a certain geographic area. So whether you're a union construction worker or a non-union construction worker, if you're working on projects that are funded by tax dollars in the state of Illinois, you have to be paid this wage rate. It's a way to protect a standard to keep low-wage workers who are potentially unskilled from coming in and performing substandard work. That's being paid for by public dollars.
That's a great definition of prevailing wage. And yet, again, I hate to say it, but another example of how unions not only lift the conditions and the wages and the benefits of their members, but everybody else around them. Because if I'm doing prevailing wage work and, where do I want to be working? Do I want to be working in a right-to-work state in the middle of nowhere where the prevailing wage is $15 an hour? Or do I want to be working in Chicago downtown where the prevailing wage is $50 on the check and $50 in benefits? I'm making $100 an hour. I want to be working in a union land, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think something that you just said, Ken, is really important. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more about this, Gary. This fight against wage theft isn't just about carpenters, and this certainly isn't just about union members. This is something that's going to benefit workers that are in unions, workers that are not in unions. You're fighting this fight on behalf of everybody.
Yes, we are, Ed. Good point. We just had a recent case settled with the Illinois Department of Labor where we had a company that had close to a dozen workers on site. They weren't represented by any union, but we were able to negotiate with working with the Department of Labor a huge settlement that'll get those workers the prevailing wage, as Ken talked about earlier, money in their pocket after the job was over.
So wait a second. You got to back up and make sure our audience is understanding this. The carpenters didn't represent this group of employees.
No, we did not.
Still don't. Yet you went and fought for them.
Yes, we did.
And how much money did they get?
Well, the company settled for close to $500,000. And each carpenter will get tens of thousands of dollars in back pay.
Wow.
Doing carpenter's work, that they weren't represented by the union. These are just your average Joe, run-of-the-mill type individuals that were working for this contractor who was cheating the system.
So a worker who has no experience with the Carpenters Union, isn't a member of the Carpenters Union, might know nothing about the Carpenters Union, is going to get a check for up to tens of thousands of dollars.
I heard one guy's getting $60,000.
That is correct.
I mean, that's life-changing money. And they were taking that money from this person, allegedly, but whatever, they settled. And so the proof is in the pudding that, number one, your bill has worked, right? And number two, the work that the carpenters have done just worked for 12 people that you've never met.
That's true.
That's an amazing success story.
So if they're shorting the workers, if this company and other companies like this are shorting workers on their wages, I would assume that they're also shorting the income tax that they're reporting. And so isn't that also kind of tax fraud? They're shorting the state.
That's true. And that's another good point, Ed, where monies that come into communities for schools, for education, for police, fire, paramedics, that's all being dumped in the cheating contractor's pockets, and the communities obviously are the ones that really suffer too, along with the people that are working for this contractor.
So they're literally like taking money out of police coffers and firefighters' coffers by not paying their fair share of taxes.
Absolutely.
And then the downstream effect, of course, is that if they're giving their workers less, there's less money for their workers to spend. And where do the workers spend money? They spend in their community.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I
think all the workers that were working for this company live in Illinois. They want to buy stuff in Illinois. But unfortunately, with the wages that they were getting paid, they were very, very much underpaid for what the prevailing wage in the state allowed them to get.
That's a really good point, because construction workers are a good sort of example of middle-class workers. And when middle-class workers get more money on their paycheck, they're not putting it in a bank in the Cayman Islands. They're not buying into hedge funds. They're going to the grocery store and spending money. They're buying a new refrigerator. They're buying furniture. They're buying a car.
They're buying beer.
Some of them are probably buying beer. All of it goes into the economy. But every dollar that you're putting into middle wage workers' pockets benefits the entire economy, because it's not getting stuffed into a mattress or some sort of a long-term investment vehicle. Most of it is going to buy goods and services in the community.
So you must be pretty proud of this success story.
Yeah, we're proud of it. And as I said earlier, it's not a union issue. It's protecting the workers in the state of Illinois. And very, very proud of our team here with the Mid-America Carpenters. We put a lot of effort and time into it. And it's really rewarding to see the contractors that are cheating the system pay up.
What is that? Let me ask you this. You mentioned contractors. It's not every contractor, right? I mean, we have good, solid, union, hardworking contractors, some of them which came up through the ranks and were former union members, right?
Sure, sure. Very good point again. And we have a number of thousands of good union carpenter contractors here in Illinois and throughout our jurisdiction in Missouri, Kansas, and eastern Iowa. And it's really a tribute to how good they are, how good they pay, how they treat our carpenters with productivity, safety, and training that we preach here in the union. And when there's people cheating the system, it hurts everybody, not just our carpenter.
How does it hurt? Let's talk about that. How does it hurt the actual contractor?
Well, if everybody's on a level playing field and the job is being bid fairly, okay, which it's not when these contractors are cheating the system. Our union contractors are out of work and our members aren't put to work. So it's a snowball effect, and it hurts our contractors as much as it hurts our membership.
And what you just did is level the playing field.
Tried to level the playing field. Obviously, like I said earlier, there's good union contractors that pay every day. They pay what they should be paid. They pay to the state, workman's comp insurance, state taxes, and we want to make sure we protect those people as well.
And you're protecting not only them, obviously, you're protecting, like you just said, you're protecting your members that work for them, that rely on that paycheck to then take that money and put their kids in school and go out and shop in their community and pay taxes. I mean, it's got an amazing amount of ripple effect. And when somebody tries to game the system, they need to know, number one, that the government is watching, but more importantly, to be blunt with you, they need to know that the unions are watching, right? We're not just watching out for our own members. We're now watching out for everybody. And here's a perfect example of what you guys just did. And guess what? Unscrupulous contractors, here's a message to you. The carpenters are watching you, because where there's one, I bet there's more.
Yeah, if you turn over one rock, you find something. I bet if you turn over a few more rocks, there's plenty more out there. So your fight against wage theft started. You lobbied politicians. You got a state law passed.
And let me stop you. Politicians, right?
It was bipartisan, Ken, and obviously our allies, our Democratic allies, along with our Republicans, it was bipartisan.
It's nice to see a union, and we talked about this last week as well. It's nice to see a union that doesn't just dump their money into the coffers of Democrats, because you have to have some friends on the other side of the aisle. And when you talk to some of them and you take away the rhetoric and you talk about something as simple as wage theft, tax theft, how do they not agree with that?
Right, exactly. Good point again. And, we have to look at both sides of the aisle. Our philosophy here has always been that the people that help us, we will reciprocate the favor to them as well. And we do have some Republican friends, along with our Democratic allies.
Okay, so you passed the state law. You're seeing successes already. Workers are getting paid money that they're owed. The state's being made whole on tax fraud. So if workers out there, whether they're members or not, believe that they might be a victim of wage theft, I understand you guys have a phone number that they can call?
Yes, anybody that thinks they're getting cheated can call our Carpenters Hotline.
So I'm going to read it to everybody. It's area code 630-368-3540. They don't have to be members of the Carpenters, correct?
No, any worker in the state of Illinois can call that hotline.
And then there's another one that is the southern region, and that is 217-744-1419. Again, it's 217-744-1419. And then, keep going, there's a western region, and that one is 815-626-2396. Again, it's 815-626-2396. Are these posted on your website someplace?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so you could always go to the Carpenters website and find these things.
Carpentersunion.org.
Carpentersunion.org. I'm sure, by the way, if you called any one of these numbers, it would get to the right place, right?
That is correct.
That's an amazing story, Gary. And really, at the end of the day, all workers in the state of Illinois and throughout the country and throughout our jurisdiction and the Midwest Coalition of Labor's jurisdiction and everywhere need to be treated fairly. And what you're doing is exactly that. And you're helping the families and workers. And, you know, kudos to you for doing it. It's kick-ass.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Gary.
You've been listening to The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN with Gary Perenar from the Carpenters Union. Fantastic job, Gary and the Carpenters. We'll be right back.